and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back to Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Today, it is Monday, September 17th. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to help end marijuana prohibition in America. We can do it. Just take a moment to visit norml.org to make your donation or join Normal today. Folks, I was very empowered at the Boston Freedom Rally this weekend, and we have hours of great content to get to. We'll get to our Boston Freedom Rally coverage today with a very interesting story about the founder of Normal, Keith Strupp, and the associate editor at High Times magazine, Rick Cusick, getting arrested together for a minor marijuana violation on the Boston Common. That story and an interview with Keith and Rick coming up here in just a few minutes. Also this week here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash, tomorrow, Chris Hermes from Americans for Safe Access will join us to talk about the medical marijuana dispensary raids in California and some of the protest activity. Americans for Safe Access has been running out there as well. Author David R. Ford will also join us this week. He's leading a panel about senior citizens and cannabis consumption at this year's 2007 Normal Conference. David is the author of the book, Good Medicine, Great Sex. We have links to it on our website today at normalaudiostash.com. David will join us here on Thursday. Also in the program this week on Friday, we'll speak with California medical marijuana patient and rapper Ominous Words. He's going to join us Friday. He's been here on the program before. He's got some new music coming out. He'll be our Friday artist showcase this week. And man, do we have a lot of great audio to get to from the Boston Freedom Rally. It really was a great experience to be up there on the Boston Common for this event. A lot of things happening up there. Let's start with our Boston Freedom Rally coverage right now.
And then with prohibition, all marijuana use became political. And so I say to you today, be political. Be political. Do exactly what you must. All marijuana use is resistance. It is resistance to the intolerable state of prohibition. All right, folks, time to get the set started. Introducing 3-Day Threshold.
Wood, but I did everything I could, thinking back to the chicken shack and thinking that she's gone for good. For a sun on midnight sky, we get home every day or night. Maybe words.
This Saturday, Normal's Daily Audio Stash was on the Boston Common for the 18th annual Boston Freedom Rally. The night before, a rousing pre-event fundraiser and awards presentation was very well attended at the Bullfinch Yacht Club and featured the bands Herbal Nation, Tree, Graveyard Barbecue, and others. That was a warm-up for the main event on Saturday. Here's a little bit of Herbal Nation Friday night where the crowd reveled in the Freedom Rally spirit.
Oh, yeah.
Herbal Nation there. We're going to hear some more of that performance later in the week, along with an interview, on-the-spot interview, at the Freedom Rally with their drummer and leader, Stumpy. Saturday started out with an overcast sky and light rain, making for light attendance early on at the Freedom Rally, but by 3 p.m., a welcome warm fall sun brightened up the weather and the crowd began to swell. In all, there were about 8,000 to 10,000 people on the common supporting marijuana legalization, loudly supporting it. The police were out in the dozens with multiple squad cars, vans, trucks, horses, golf carts, and undercover agents. Two of America's most prominent legalization advocates were added to the tally of almost 800,000 Americans arrested each year for a marijuana violation. Normal's founder Keith Strop and the associate editor of High Times magazine Rick Cusick were arrested together for a minor marijuana violation at the Boston Freedom Rally Saturday. An undercover Boston police officer approached the pair, who were in possession of a very small amount of cannabis, described as, quote, half of a joint, close quote. They were held briefly in an on-site police processing tent there on the Boston Common. Strop and Cusick were released after receiving a summons for a Class D misdemeanor. Both were allowed to speak on the stage at the Freedom Rally later in the day. There were just over 60 marijuana arrests reported by police at the event. Many were young people. This is one of just two marijuana violation arrests for Strop and the first for Cusick. The story was reported in the Sunday Boston Herald. Here are Keith and Rick back at the High Times Normal tent just after their arrest.
Here with Keith Strop on the Boston Common in beautiful Boston, Massachusetts, as the sky has started to let up here and the Freedom Rally is picking up here today. Keith, something interesting happened to you just a few minutes ago here on the Boston Common. Tell us what happened.
Well, I guess it reminds us all that marijuana is still illegal in America, and certainly here on the Boston Common. We were standing behind the Normal booth, the Normal High Times booth is together, and Rick Cusick, who's an associate publisher at High Times, and I were sharing a number, and a couple of other people we didn't know walked up and, you know, wanted to share it too, so we were passing around the joint. And before you knew it, a couple of undercover cops came up and grabbed Rick and I think they were probably startled that anyone with gray hair would be smoking a marijuana cigarette. So they took us over to the police tent and gave us a citation. Now, I do have to tell you that once there, it was fairly clear that they understood there's nothing much wrong with smoking marijuana. They were sort of their assignment for the day. Somebody had given them assignment. You must go out and you must make sure nobody's smoking marijuana at that marijuana rally. Well, guess what? That's often what happens at a marijuana rally. So I guess, you know, it's like every year up here. There are 40, 50 arrests. I've been lucky. I've not been one of them in the past, but Rick and I were this time. But I will say that while we were there, the 20 minutes or so we were in custody before they gave us a citation, they realized we were speakers because we had speakers' passes, and they found out Rick was with High Times, and then they found out I was with Normal. And they asked us our age and realized I was the oldest guy in a room, and one of the cops was older than Rick but younger than me, and so we started laughing about the fact this is really an age discrimination. Leave us old guys alone that want to smoke marijuana. And the cops were laughing about that. So I thought overall the experience inside the tent was kind of interesting. The cops realized we weren't enemies of theirs. We were older than most of them. We're nice guys. They kept saying, you guys are old enough. You ought to know better than this. And, of course, Rick kept saying, there's nothing wrong with it. What do you mean knowing better than this? So there was no hostility at all. There really wasn't. There was no manhandling. Yes, we have to come back at a certain date for a ticket. And if it's not dismissed, I suppose we pay a few $100. But, again, that's the point. There's nothing wrong with smoking pot, and it shouldn't be a crime. And as long as it is a crime, you're going to have otherwise law-abiding citizens like Rick and I who are going to occasionally get arrested. So our number came up today.
Righto.
The cop made a point to me. It's not that they were very professional, and it wasn't adversarial. On the other hand, there was a few of them in there that didn't believe in what we were doing and thought, you know, that we were putting. He said, you know, kids come here today and they're going to get arrested and they're going to have criminal records and all because of you guys doing this. And I straightened them out and I said, you know, you're right. I'm sorry that's going to happen. There is collateral damage. This is a drug war. And the fact is that those kids join 800,000 people that get arrested every year, 700,000 that get busted for simple possession, and 400,000 under 25 years old. And I said, so what we're trying to do is stop that larger dynamic. And I'm sorry that those kids, and he was pointing to kids that were getting pulled in as we were speaking. And I said, you know, that's tragic. And then I joked and I said, look, you know, guys, if me and Keith do our job well enough, you guys next year can go back to arresting real criminals. And there was one guy, like I said, who didn't believe in what we were doing, and he was a little ticked at all the jocularity. And I told him, I said, look, I'll do anything you say. I'll answer my mother's maiden name, my father, where he lived, all this crap they want to know. I said, I'll do anything you want here, except take this seriously. And then when they pulled out what we got busted for, he said, where's the contraband? And the arresting officer handed it to the lieutenant who was sitting behind the table. There was a half a joint in a plastic bag. And I quote the lieutenant. He looked up at the arresting officer and said, you got to be fucking kidding me.
Really? So, it seems like these guys are old hats at all this, in a way. I mean, you know, but it does...
15 years, he said, or something like that, because I've been doing this every year for 15 years, 16 years.
I really did get a feeling, though, that less hostility than one might imagine. There's an incredible police presence, but they're here because somebody has told them to be here, not because they really think there's... Yeah, nothing that anything dangerous going on, and they know that. And also... they realized at some point that they were dealing with guys older than them, maybe as old as their parents, and all of a sudden, it wasn't like, well, you're 14, you know, you got to call your parents. They said, well, no, in fact, I'll tell you, they saw our speakers tag, and one of the things they said was, you know, usually you can't come back in the park, but you guys are speakers, and you're a little older, so if you'll just walk around the outside and come back in a different gate, don't worry, we won't bother you. And so here we are again.
Technically, we're supposed to be here.
But you guys are both speaking on stage.
We're on the program.
Yeah, and we'll have something to say about that, I hope.
Indeed. Well, I want to...
It was not that big a deal, but it was sort of illustrative of what this goddamn issue is all about.
And I'm sure by the end of the day, there'll be several hundred people arrested here out of several thousand people that show up. And that percentage is the same thing that happens in New York City. You know, they make a cosmetic attempt at enforcing the law so that they're not held to that up, you know, several days later. And they said the police let it happen. Well, I said, no, we busted 200 people. It gives them a way of CYA, cover their ass.
Right.
I think at least for Rick and I, we probably won't be smoking a lot more today in the park.
In the bar. I'm going back to the hotel room in about a half hour. But you're right about that.
Well, you know, and also, too, I mean, it shows that two leaders of this movement here, you know, are not immune from this kind of thing.
No, not at all.
Some people think. Thank you
and
very much.
And they were not impressed with our status as leaders of the movement. Yeah, that was not an issue for them.
Some people think that when you're out front, you're safe. Well... There may be some people that don't want to take you on because they don't necessarily want to irritate High Times or Normal or whatever. But I guarantee you, for most of us, it's a feather in their hat. I mean, they'll be talking about arresting the guy from High Times and Normal for fucking weeks.
Exactly.
But also, too, the local media is probably going to pick up on this as well. So.
Yeah, and not just that. We'll make sure they do.
Yeah. Right on. Well, guys, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Nice to be with you. My pleasure.
Glad to be back among the living.
Again, they were both allowed to speak on stage later in the day. We'll have Keith's speech later on today and Rick's speech tomorrow. The crowd at the Freedom Rally definitely trended young, more of the high school and early college age than anything else there. It shows that the young generation of American marijuana consumers is very interested and active in the reform effort. There were many high-energy local bands on stage for the Freedom Rally, including Township, Primary Others, Superpower, Road Steamer, Angeline, and Darkbuster. We're going to have music from Boston all week long, right here on the Audio Stash. The best part of the rally for me was meeting a lot of the people who have appeared here on the Audio Stash as guests in telephone interviews in person. Some like Matt Simon from SendTheRightMessage.com or Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com. They've appeared here on the podcast numerous times, but I've never met them in person. We've only interacted via phone and email, and there is nothing that replaces a good handshake and an in-person interview. So we're going to start our live audio coverage of the Boston Freedom Rally with some of those in-person interviews and some of the speeches that took place on stage. Today we'll hear Danny Danko, the cultivation editor at High Times Magazine, Steve Hagar, the executive editor at High Times, Dr. Keith Saunders, the director of MassCan Normal, Alan St. Pierre, National Normal's executive director, Ben Scales, musician and lawyer, singing on stage with the 420 countdown at the Freedom Rally, Steve Bloom's on stage speech, and Jake Rowland of Students for Sensible Drug Policy. We have hours and hours of content from the Freedom Rally, both speeches, music, and interviews. Some of it will be posted on the Normal Events podcast. You can find out more about that at normal, norml.org/podcast. We're going to play as much as possible this week right here on the Audio Stash. Let's start with our montage of speakers and interviews here today. Here's Danny Danko from High Times Magazine.
For now, I want to introduce to you folks a Boston native, a man who is a BU graduate and who is a cultivation editor for High Times Magazine. Please welcome Danny Danko.
Hey, what's up, Boston? How you guys doing? All right, I have a question for you guys. How do you guys feel about the Yankees? Can they be defeated? So can pot prohibition. All right? No streak lasts forever. No streak lasts forever. All right? I want you guys to know there's undercover police out here, and they'll bust you if you're smoking because they're upholding the law, and that's their job. We need to change that law. I'm not going to get up here and badmouth the police because they're just doing their jobs, and their job is to uphold the law. We need to change the law. You need to vote. You need to tell your parents, tell your children, tell your friends to vote to change these laws. All right? Medical marijuana, recreational marijuana, we can get it all legalized if you get political and get involved. Join Normal. Okay? It's very important. It's a grassroots effort, no pun intended. All right? There's no big million-dollar donors for Normal. It's all you. $25 here, $100 there. Buy a T-shirt. It's important, all right? We're going to legalize and we're going to decriminalize. No streak lasts forever, all right? Something happened here in 2004 that nobody thought could happen. And the same thing can happen with pot prohibition, okay? It's outdated, old law. And we want the police out here to know, the undercovers, the uniforms, everybody, we're not against you. We're happy that you protect us, but just protect us. Protect us from criminals. We're not the criminals. We're just peaceful pot smokers. Okay? That's what we are. That's what we are. We're peaceful pot smokers. We want you out there getting the rapists and the murderers and the child molesters off the streets. Okay? So we can smoke pot in peace. That's what we want. Okay, we're peace-loving people. We just want to sit at home, play video games, things like that. We're no threat to society. Okay? We are not a threat to social order. We just want to legalize pot. It's really simple. You know, some people like to drink booze. Some people like to smoke cigarettes. We like to smoke pot. And not to mention, medical pot works. And Boston actually has some pretty damn good pot. Yeah, Maine, we've got medical states all up and down the Northeast now. We will prevail, okay? We've got 12 states. It'll be 13 by the end of the year. It'll be 15. It'll be 25. And when it's 25, that's half the country. When it's 30, that's a majority, okay? The politicians will listen if you vote, if you tell them how you feel. So that's important. Join Normal. Give them whatever money you can. MassCan is a really important organization here in Massachusetts. These guys have been doing this for years, and they need support from the grassroots, people like you. If you grow it, if you love it, save a little money on the side and donate to a good cause like MassCan Normal. All right? It's important, guys. Should I keep talking? Listen, we're going to legalize it. Don't get distressed. There's hope in the air. All right? Strength in numbers. And if you vote, we will win. It's that simple. Tell the politicians how you feel.
Thank you, Danny. Danny Danko from High Times Magazine, one of Boston's own. Every year since 2001, I've been flying out to Seattle for their Hemp Fest. Seattle Hemp Fest is the largest annual assembly of marijuana reform supporters that this world has ever seen. Over the course of 2 days on a weekend, they draw over 150,000 people into Myrtle Edwards Park in Seattle. And I can tell you as a witness, they have not had any arrests for possession of marijuana within that park over the past 6 years. Nobody has been arrested for possession at the Seattle Hemp Fest, and everybody there uses marijuana. They do not have violence. They do not have disturbances. It's one of the most peaceful gatherings I've ever been to. In fact, the Freedom Rally is right up there with it. We have never had a violent incident, and I don't worry that we ever will. The people who come here with good hearts and kind intentions. We look out for each other. We are a community. I do know this. The tens of thousands of people that will assemble here will have far less violence and far less disruption than the tens of thousands of people that are going to assemble just a few miles away at Fenway Park this afternoon. Right? Those people are going to be drinking. Those people are going to be drinking. They're going to be rooting for their various teams, taking sides, and some of them are going to be fighting. And when they fight, there's a victim. And when there's a victim, there's a crime. But when there's no victim, how can there be a crime? How can there be a crime when there is no victim? The principle of habeas corpus is that you need to show the body. Show me the body, the evidence that a crime has been committed. How can the possession of an organic substance that springs from the earth be considered a criminal activity if nobody is harmed from it? Every year in Seattle, when I go out there, they've let me speak. I've been fortunate enough for them to grant me that privilege. And every year when I'm out there, I ask the people in attendance to get together and send their love to us 3,000 miles away and 1 month into the future. And every year they do that in their own special way. They have a little tradition out there in Seattle. It's called the Hemp Cheer. Hemp is help end marijuana prohibition. And it goes a little like this. Give me an H! All right. That was the warm-up. We can do a little bit better now. Here we go. Give me an H! Good. Give me an E!
E!
Give me an M!
M!
Give me a P!
P!
What does that spell?
M!
What's that spell?
M!
What's that smell?
M!
I'm sure they heard you out there, or at least they heard what you intended. The next speaker is one of our co-sponsors of this event. He's the editor-in-chief of High Times Magazine. Last night I had the pleasure of giving him a Lifetime Achievement Award in recognition for all the work that he has done on behalf of marijuana users over the past several decades. So please give a warm welcome to Mr. Stephen Hager.
Thanks a lot. It's a pleasure to be back here. It's been 7 years since I've been at this rally. I've been kind of busy at home raising a family. 20 years ago, I created an event in Amsterdam where the world's finest growers and breeders could get together, bring their finest flowers that they grew that year, and enter them into a competition so some judges could select the world's greatest marijuana. We have that festival, that ceremony, every Thanksgiving, and the 20th one is coming up this Thanksgiving. We're looking for some judges. Does anybody think they can judge the world's greatest marijuana? Well, listen, go to hightimes.com and follow the links to the Cannabis Cup if you want to get a trip to a place where cannabis is legal to consume. It's the only place on the face of the earth where we can have this ceremony. But someday, we're going to have a ceremony like that right here on Boston Common. And that's what we're here to fight for. 19 years ago, I started a group called the Freedom Fighters. And we tried to bring rallies and demonstrations back because they disappeared after the 60s. And we were very successful in doing that. And the leader of the Massachusetts chapter of the Freedom Fighters was Linda Noel, who's here today, and she's the founder of the Boston Freedom Rally. So let's have a hand for Linda Noel. I want to encourage everybody to go to the High Times booth. We're right over there. Check us out. I got a couple of copies of my book, The Octopus Conspiracy. You can read about it at octopusconspiracy.com. The sad truth is they've been manipulating war and revolution for profit for hundreds of years, people. This is nothing new. We've been hoodwinked for hundreds of years to thinking that war was a necessary thing. It is not necessary. It is only necessary because the multinational corporations make 20 times the profit they do during peace. And that's why we have war. That's the only reason we have war, is so they can make money on it. It's a scam, people. So check out Octopus Conspiracy. Find out what's really going on and how we can stop this cycle of violence that they keep perpetuating on our people. I want to thank everybody for coming out. Have a great day.
It looks like the sky, the blue sky, is starting to come through. Looks like we're going to get ourselves some fine weather for 420. But before we get there, we still have another group of speakers added to our lineup. I'd like to introduce to you one of the founding fathers, amongst the founding fathers of the marijuana policy reform movement. This movement goes back to a day in August of 1964 when Lowell Eggemeyer walked into a San Francisco police station, lit up a joint, and demanded to be arrested. His lawyer started a marijuana policy reform group. That group evolved into another group, and then over in Washington, D.C., the gentleman I'm about to introduce to you started a Ralph Nader-type model of cannabis consumer advocacy, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. It gives me great pleasure, and please give him all your love, the founder of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, Mr. Keith Stroup.
Thank you, friend. Hello, friends. I smoke pot, and I like it a lot. I'm a 63-year-old lawyer. I first smoked marijuana 42 years ago when I was a freshman at Georgetown Law School in 1965 in Washington, D.C. I've been a regular smoker ever since, and I'm here to tell you there's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana, and it should be of no interest or concern to the government. There's nothing wrong with smoking pot. It is time we stopped arresting, and that's on my mind today because it happened to me a little earlier out there. It is time we stopped arresting and started respecting responsible marijuana smokers. As Keith Saunders said, my name is Keith Stroup. I'm delighted to be here with you. I founded Normal back in 1970 when I was a young lawyer, and I'm currently serving as legal counsel. I trust you're familiar with Normal, but if you don't, I'll give you briefly a summary of what we stand for, and our booth is just back there next to the High Times booth. Please stop in and say hello. Normal supports the elimination of all penalties for the personal possession and use of marijuana by adults. Period. No penalty. It's none of the government's business. And it shouldn't matter whether you smoke it for medical use, personal pleasure, religious use, or whatever other reason. It's basically protected under your right to privacy. Secondly, we think consumers absolutely have the right to continue to grow their own marijuana. So if we don't like the marijuana that they're providing us, we'll simply continue to grow our own. And thirdly, I do want a legally regulated market. I want a place where consumers can go buy good quality marijuana in a safe and secure environment. That's generally called legalization, and we favor it. Just as we learned with alcohol prohibition, it's only when you do away with the black market can you do away with the violence associated with the black market. So we need to legalize marijuana now. What do we do today? Well, it is time for smokers to get up, stand up, light up, and let the world know how you feel. It is true that marijuana improves one's taste of food. It improves our appreciation of music and our appreciation of good sex. And those are not bad things. But more importantly, for a lot of us, it allows us a better perspective on the world. We're able to stand back and evaluate what happened that day or how we're dealing with our family or our friends. We need to develop the culture to say out loud that in the right setting, marijuana smoking can be a very helpful and positive experience. Now, just as gays and lesbians learned over the last 20 or 30 years, they didn't win their rights until they had the courage in large numbers to come out of the closet. And that's what we have to do. Marijuana smokers must be willing to stand up and say, I smoke marijuana and there's nothing wrong with it. There are two reasons. First, we've got to overcome a negative stereotype that's left over in a lot of people's minds from the reefer madness era. We need to demonstrate that smokers are good, ordinary citizens who work hard, contribute to their communities. They are positive additions. Stop treating them like criminals. We can only achieve that if we come out of the closet. More importantly, we've got to come out of the closet so our elected officials understand that we're there. 28 million people smoked marijuana in the last year. 47% of all adults in this country have smoked marijuana at some time in their life. If the people who smoked marijuana would simply take the pledge that they will never again vote for a candidate for public office that wants to treat us like a criminal, within a couple of election cycles, we will have marijuana legalized in America. But you've got to come out of the closet and you've got to take the pledge. I will never again vote for a candidate for public office who wants to treat me like a criminal. Now, the bad news real quickly. There were almost 800,000 Americans arrested last year on marijuana charges, 786,000. 88% of those people were arrested for simple possession. They were just marijuana smokers, people like you and me. There is another marijuana smoker arrested every 41 seconds in America, and as they say, I got arrested a couple of hours ago right over there, so you're safe for about 40 seconds, but then another person's going to take a fall. So the bad news is they are arresting hundreds of thousands of genuinely good citizens every year in this country for no good reason, simply because we choose to smoke marijuana when we relax in the evening instead of drinking alcohol or smoking tobacco. Now, the good news, things are beginning to change. Public attitudes, 80% of the public now say they support the right of a patient to use marijuana as a medicine if a doctor recommends it. That's 8 out of 10. Yet you still don't have that right in Massachusetts. In 12 states, they do. More importantly, 76% of the public, 3 out of 4 Americans now say the appropriate penalty for a marijuana smoker is a fine only. No arrest and no jail. Now, that's not perfect. I don't think they have any right to fine us. I don't think it's any of their business. But frankly, the idea that 3 out of 4 Americans now understand the basic premise that we ought not to be treating marijuana smokers like criminals is a major step forward. Our challenge is we haven't figured out how to take that public support and turn it into public policy. But again, for that, we need your help. So where does that leave us? Well, we're gradually winning this fight, and over the next 5 to 10 years, without question, we are going to legalize marijuana in America. As I said when I started, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. What we're really talking about is only incidentally marijuana. It really is personal freedom. And with your help, we are going to return a measure of personal freedom to the lives of tens of millions of responsible marijuana smokers in this world. Get up, stand up, light up, join MassCAN, join Normal, and let's let America know it's time to legalize marijuana. Thank you, friends.
Hey, let's hear it for Keith Strump. That gentleman is my hero. All right, we got our speakers. Our regular speaker lineup is continuing, folks. I'm about to bring up the next person on our speaker lineup is Mr. Steve Bloom, a longtime journalist, has written for High Times, has written for his blog, Blooming Ideas. And he's been a longtime friend of MassCAN and of the marijuana policy reform movement. He is a former music editor, former senior editor, and now currently the author and publisher of BloomingIdeas.com. And I guarantee you that was the first site to report on last night's festivities because he was there taking notes. So, ladies and gentlemen, Please give a warm Freedom Rally welcome to Mr. Steve Bloom.
Hey, thank you very much, Keith. It's going to be tough to follow the barbecue, but I'm going to do my best, all right? Hey, Boston, how the fuck are you? All right, you guys rock. I've been coming here since 1994. This is the 18th year. The event gets bigger, it gets smaller, it gets bigger, it gets smaller. It doesn't matter, because we're here, and that's all that matters. Because we're the most important people right here, right now in Boston. Because we're the people who care. We're the people who came out today because we want to change the laws. Because we want to legalize weed in America, right? We want to legalize weed in Boston, right? All right, let me hear you give me a good hemp-hemp hooray. Hemp-hemp hooray! Hemp-hemp hooray! Okay, follow me. I'll do hemp-hemp hooray, then you go. Hemp-hemp hooray! Hemp-hemp hooray! One more time. Hemp-hemp hooray! You guys are the best. I'm a former editor of High Times. I worked for High Times for almost 15, 20 years. Go to the High Times booth, hang out, and pick up some magazines. I'm doing some new stuff now. I have a website called celebstoner.com. All right, that's a cool site. It's a marijuana news site. Focuses on celebrities and drugs. So come to the site, check it out. I'd really appreciate it. I also have a book coming out called Pot Culture, so I'm really excited about that. Come out and buy my book when it comes out. And I'm just out there, you know, trying to do what everybody else here is doing as the activist, trying to change the laws. I'm following the news every day, and what blows me away is what's going on in, say, California, where they have hundreds of dispensaries that give weed, make weed available to medical patients, yet the federal government keeps coming in and shutting down the dispensaries. That's not right. They take the weed away from people in wheelchairs, people in need. That's not right. What else is going on in California is they grow more weed out there than probably any place else in the world. Would you believe that this summer alone they have seized 2 million marijuana plants in California? That would fill up the whole Boston Common. 2 million plants, and then there's still more to go around. That's how much weed is being grown in this country. So what we're trying to do, obviously, is to legalize marijuana for recreational use, for personal use, for all use. Not just for medicine, which is happening in 12 states in the country, as people know. Now, you need to do that here in Boston and Massachusetts as well. Get marijuana legal as a medicine to help the patients. That's number one. But number two is to get marijuana legal for everybody else who isn't a patient. You know? I mean, some people think all marijuana use is medical, and that may or may not be your belief. But a lot of people use marijuana for medical purposes. They use it for stress. They use it for insomnia. They use it for aches and pains, in addition to the more serious needs that people have when they have serious ailments like cancer and AIDS and multiple sclerosis and all the other serious ailments that marijuana is really beneficial for. So let's make it available. Another thing we need to do, now through making marijuana legal, we want to tax and regulate it. We want to sell it in liquor stores, just like the candidate Mike Gravel says. He says sell it in liquor stores. What about that? Why not? Or in a drugstore? Or in the candy store? In the 7-Eleven? Why not weed in the 7-Eleven? You're going to have to be 18. I'm sorry. All right. You're going to have to wait, a few of you. But, hey, soon you'll be 18. So that's the plan. Now, I'm also wearing some hemp today. And you guys should wear hemp. Support the marijuana plant and wear it. Don't just smoke it. Wear it. So go over to the booth, the hemp, the MassCam booth, and buy this shirt. I'll show it to you. I'm not going to really totally disrobe now, but I will show you my shirt. All right, come on. This is part hemp. This is 55% hemp. Go to the booth, support hemp, support marijuana, legalize the weed, and thank you for coming out to Hemp Fest, the marijuana rally here in Boston every year, the Boston Freedom Rally. Let's hear it from MassCam. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Celeb Stoner, where you will find pictures of Paris Hilton and the rest of them token up.
I first had the chance to hear Ben Scales at the Normal Conference. I think it was in 2002 or 2003. And he came out and he played a little song for us. And it's a really nice song. And as soon as he gets ready, we'll be doing that. I want to let you folks know it is by the official Freedom Rally clock now 4:03 p.m. It is now 4:03 p.m., which means in 17 minutes, things are going to get a little smoky. trying to keep everything on schedule. We seem to be doing pretty good so far. We're going to have a few other speakers coming up here in the interim. That is exactly what we need to hear.
Is this the mic stand? Am I going to see you?
I think that's not going to work.
What they did is they swapped the cord out.
Can I get a stand down there?
There we go.
Cool.
All right, everybody, we're ready to go. Coming to you from North Carolina, Mr. Ben Scales and his song, Growing Marijuana in My Yard.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thanks to all these MassCAN people, these volunteers who worked so hard to put this thing on. It's wonderful. I'll tell you a little story. I was driving down the interstate, minding my own business, not doing anything I could think of to draw attention to myself, except for the fact that I was driving down the median. You see, I couldn't pick a lane that day. It seemed like a meaningless choice. I couldn't decide between South and North, Bush or Gore, Bush or Kerry. Are you with us or are you a fairy? Rudy or Hillary, you gotta be kidding me. Kilometers or miles, window or aisle, paper or plastic sounds fantastic. Coke or a Pepsi, I'm so glad you asked me. A dog or a cat, you want fries with that? Just then the cops showed up, eager to interrogate me on the finer points of my driving skills. Hey, boy, where do you think you're going? I was feeling a little playful, so I said, I'm going to Margaritaville. Yeah, I'm going to find me a brown-eyed girl. I'm going to fly like a free bird right up the stairway to heaven to my sweet home, Alabama. Going to check into the Hotel California. Going to take it easy. No more life in the fast lane. I can't get no satisfaction, but like a Rolling Stone, I'll be taking care of business, doing the wild thing in the wild world with the Candyman and the Piano Man and the Rocket Man. Just want to hold your hand. Click. Could hear the handcuffs click, click, clicking tighter around my wrists. Bam! Could feel the cold steel trunk lid of the police cruiser pressing deeper into my cheek. Hey, Sarge, said the officer who was rifling through my car. Look what we found in his ashtray. What is it, Junior? Well, it looks to be a seed. A seed? Boy, what are you doing with a seed? You don't look like a farmer to me. Well, I feel like I'd played with this guy long enough, so I said, you're right, officer. I'm not a farmer. I'm a gardener. There's but one reason that I have that seed, and I'm not at all ashamed to tell you why it is. It's because I'm growing marijuana in my yard. In my yard, I got a little pot spread out all over the lot, 'cause I'm growing marijuana in my yard. 'Cause I got the seed from Mexico, stuck it in some dirt and let it grow. I put it in my garden with my peppers and my peas, and I get all the smoke I need for free. 'Cause I'm growing marijuana in my yard. Growing marijuana in my yard. We keep it where no one can see, so let's keep this between you and me. But I'm growing marijuana in my yard. Yes, I'm growing marijuana in my yard. But I can't tell my boss or I'll get fired. I don't grow much, just what I use. I work all day, and when I'm through, I smoke some marijuana from my yard. Take it, Ben. Policeman wants to talk to me. He says, how you gonna smoke up all that weed? He says, money's what you're in it for. Don't you know we're in a war? Now I'm gonna haul your ass downtown with me. And I said, hey man, what is it to you? How do I infringe on what you do? I beg your pardon if you were offended by my garden, but I just can't grow Prozac in my yard. So I grow my own medicine in my yard. I give some to my neighbor for his heart. I share it with my grandma, who keeps it from her son, 'cause we all know that stuff's against the law. Well,
now there's nothing growing in my yard. 'Cause the cops took all my land, both my cars. Now I have to buy my pot from a teenager in a parking lot who's growing marijuana in his yard. Oh, anyone can grow it in their yard. Hey, I can show you how, it ain't hard. Never mind the president, let's overgrow the government. And I'll grow marijuana in our yard. Thank you for having the courage to be free.
That was our montage of speakers and interviews for today's Audio Stash. We're going to have more interviews, speeches, and music from the Boston Freedom Rally this weekend, all this week here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. We'll be posting about 5 hours of content at the Normal Events Podcast. You can find out more about that at normal.org/podcast. Make sure to tune in every day here to your first source for marijuana news, information, and entertainment. Normal's Daily Audio Stash. See you tomorrow at 4:20.
You're listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.